Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, golden sausages, bushfires, and ice speedway. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Jess Ward.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
How are we, chaps? Sam, you're very excited.
Very jubilant. Yeah.
Is it just because there's some new pens turned up in the stationery cupboard?
It is. Yeah. Don't say you can't put that out.
Why not?
Why not?
Because then I'll know who's taken them.
No, I've already taken a few.
I'm going to take some too, so
Blue or black, which you go for?
Always blue.
I prefer black pens.
Yeah. I like black pens, but when it comes to like...
neater handwriting in blue pens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, always.
When it comes to like editing the pages when it prints out, the blue...
shows up better.
Yeah.
So you take one of each?
Yes, one of each?
Just blue. Black. Mm. I'm going to go for red. Like a teacher.
Need to be really critical of everything you write on.
Good week, Jess, apart from the pens, which is obviously what everyone in a very good mood.
Yeah, really good week. We're very happy to have our deputy editor and our chief reporter back. Because, you know, it was a bit lonely, just Sam and I.
Bit busy, I think, is the expression that Sam used last week, but with maybe a few more spare words.
Hectic, maybe.
Katie, good week?
Yeah, it's been slightly quieter because the price freeze ended.
Stalled.
On voucher subscriptions, but there is another price freeze.
Dun, dun, dun. Go on then.
Digital subscriptions.
Go on, tell us about it.
It is 27% discount over the year.
On a digital subscription.
On a digital subscription, that's 52 weeks of the paper without even leaving your house.
Yeah.
For £41.60.
So that's per title. So
yes.
For an independent, it's £41.60. And an examiner's £41.60.
Yeah. So £83.20 and you're paid up for the year.
And of course, the courier's free anyway.
And the courier's free, yeah.
It's a dream.
And saving the environment.
You are,
exactly. So you, if you got it now, you'd be paying 80 pence per paper rather than £1.10.
Wow. Those savings can't be ignored, can they?
No.
Especially when we're in the peak of sales season, aren't we?
Exactly.
So if people want to get involved with that, how do they do it?
You go to iomtoday.co.im and click on your third favourite tab, Digital Editions.
Sam, good week?
Yeah.
Apart from the pens?
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week, yeah.
You're looking a bit dishevelled again?
Yeah, I must admit, my beard's getting a bit out of hand.
I mean, it looks slightly lopsided. Have you had a go at one side?
No, hold on. I just...
Do you play with one side more than the other?
I beg your pardon. No, it's just how it grows weirdly. It's just sort of a bit more one than the other.
It's a bit more one than the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a barber and gotten to trim your beard before? Or do you do it yourself?
No, if I ever get anything done at the barber, I just say to him, oh, just do us a favour, just zhump, and just trim the whole lot and start again.
Is that the technical term?
Yeah. Jump.
Yeah. Now, apart from your possible defoaling this weekend, you're also very excited about the story in the Courier tomorrow, aren't you?
I am very excited about this.
Now, again, this is a dream for anyone who's a fan of an innuendo. It's the Golden Sausage Award.
It is indeed the Golden Sausage Award, Andrew.
Would you like to explain a bit more?
Well, much like the Golden Cleric in Father Ted, it is the prime award. But in this sense, it's the
in
prime
the sausage
award.
Industry.
No.
Oh.
That's where you've gone wrong.
Oh, how misleading.
Yeah.
So, the Golden Sausage is awarded to MCNs, which is Motorcycle News, who's a small-time rival publication of TT News. They do a competition for the best biking cafe in Britain.
Okay.
And it's the best biking cafe in Britain's best breakfast at the biking cafe in Britain.
How do you classify as being classified as a biking cafe?
Cafe where bikers can park their bikes.
So car park access.
Yep.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And on the island, we have a nomination.
Yes.
The Sound Cafe.
There you go.
So, yeah.
There's big car park.
Yeah.
Big car park. Lovely
Many
views.
Bikers.
Yep.
You can see a seal.
Not guaranteed.
On a good day.
Yep.
And their breakfast, I hadn't realised, sounds pretty cool. It's called A Sound Way to Break the Fast.
Oh. Now, is that just a full English?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks good.
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, reading your piece, Sam, the people who had gone there and kind of tried it, they said it was the most expensive meal that they've come across, but it was worth it for the views. And
Now, you can vote online, can't you? I think I've seen this.
Of course, in the Courier tomorrow, you'll be able to follow it. Of course, it'll be online, and in both in Courier form and the story itself will be online. You can vote via MCN. At the minute, it's in second.
Do you know who's leading? I was about to say, who are the rival bikers, cafes, it's a breakfast
Scottish
of choice?
One.
Right.
It's called Biker's Cove.
Oh, wow.
That sounds really good.
Yes. It does sound very catered towards bikers.
There's only about, I think there's 7 or 8% in it.
So if the three people that listen to this podcast on a regular basis vote...
Mr. and Mrs. Kitchener count as one.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be for one, what do you call it,
IP address.
Yeah. So we're not going
to... We're down to 2 votes.
Yeah, we're not going to influence it, really, are we?
Maybe. Right? If you hear it, spread the news, spread the beans, spread the sausages.
Spread the love.
Spread the butter.
Yeah. Let's. When's the voting closed?
We don't know. The website doesn't say.
Okay.
But, you know, get out, get voting.
Just get out, get voting. This is bigger than the general election, isn't it?
Get breakfast done.
Let's get breakfast done. Let's get the golden sausage back. Bring it home.
Yeah.
Well, they have it on display down at the Sound Cafe.
I hope so.
I think, Sam, if it does come home, we should go down and be... You know, afforded the responsibility for getting it here, to be honest.
Maybe afterwards it can be at the Manx Museum.
Oh.
No, because they'll turn it into a TT museum.
I think, to be fair, put the claws away,
oh,
Sam.
Burn.
Hashtag folk life.
If they have to win it 3 times before it's like...
Or just drop it on someone's head and get a dent in it like United did with the Champions League.
There you go. Right, moving on from sausages. I'm sure this man likes a sausage because... He's a very active in his day. It's Mark Carouche. Sam, I was looking at you, yes, but it's your story, this one, isn't it? He has got the best job. What he describes as the best job in the world, he's the Isle of Man's countryside ranger.
Yeah, so this is Julie's in food and farming.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this is that essentially his job is to go around protecting the island. And I like this thing about his emergency kit, which is basically binoculars.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and he drives around his smashing 4x4, which was...
Lovely white.
It very clean. Yeah. Suspiciously clean.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, but think about it. He knew he was getting pictures taken. Mm.
You
always made the effort, don't you?
Yeah,
that's true.
But yeah, so I think he's got a very cool job.
Yeah.
And what I thought about this is, more than anything else, is this is very interesting. You should go read it, because what he does in terms of sustainability and keeping the island safe, and also looking at... you have the figure, because I haven't got the figure.
So he kind of patrols around 28,000 hectares.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
That is a lot. So he says he wouldn't be able to give you like a step count.
Yeah.
But he says basically half a day every day he's outside
on foot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, in all weather, I'm sure.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I bet he has a lot of keys.
Oh, he must have.
On a big key ring, a giant one.
If you think about how many gates and stuff there are to the plantations and the various glens and stuff, and I'm guessing there's not just one universal key. Because it's not like Lord of the Rings were one.
Do you think that's why he says he only spends half the day patrolling and the other half is just
finding
stood
keys
at a gate looking for the key?
Yeah, in the cold and the wet. You'd be like, he keeps dropping it.
Them.
Oh, nightmare.
On the mud.
But he has a lot of keys.
Well, I know that he basically, what he tries to protect is like the heathlands.
Yeah.
So he's actually going out there and telling people to stay on track, because a lot of people are going off and... kind of destroying these protected sites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I've just written a piece about the peatlands and learned about that and how like precious and vulnerable those kind of types of land are.
Ecosystems.
So, yeah, that's the perfect word. So he's saying to the public, yes, go out there and make use of the outdoors, because like the Isle of Man is incredible for it, but just do it sensibly and respectfully.
Yeah. So there's more on that in the Indie this week on Julie's Food and Farming pages, which are always a good read, aren't they, Jess?
Oh, that's fantastic. I love her writing style. I love Julie.
Yeah, so that's Mark Carouche, who is the Countryside Ranger.
Imagine if he had that title.
Does he have a uniform?
Is that on his business card?
I don't know, ranger. But... God, my dad used to be a park ranger.
Oh,
does he do like what Chris Eubank does with his little sheriff's badge? Does he have like a little ranger badge he wears all the time?
Like a little star.
Yeah.
Does he love youth hostelling? Like Chris Eubank. But yeah, so there's more on that in this week's Indie, which of course, as we get the digital subscription, you can read Food and Farming every week, can't you? For the £41.60 a year is just grimly.
I mean, you can pay the £1.10 a week to get it weekly, but with savings like this, you'd be mad to miss out.
You would. Casey delving into her former job as a window salesman.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, the next story also involves countryside, but for different reasons, Jess. It's the story that's probably dominated 2020 so far. It's the Australian bushfires. And it's a really interesting story you've written about. There's a Manx lady in, or is it somebody who lived on the island?
So she grew up in Port St. Mary.
Yeah.
And she attended Russian primary school and also Castle Russian High School.
Yeah.
And then she went across to study and then ended up becoming the chief executive officer of Australia RSPCA, so that's the...
So what was the lady's name, sorry?
Her name is Bidder Jones,
right.
Which is a really cool name. And, so she moved over there in 1996 to a place called Braidwood, which is just east of Canberra, so yep. That's the capital. And so...
I'm surprised you know that.
A lot of people don't. They think it's Sydney, don't they?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's always a tricky one of the...
I know it's... The reason... You know, it's one of those... Like, in New Zealand, everyone thinks Auckland is the capital because it's the biggest city, but it's Wellington. Yeah.
It's Wellington because it's encased in mushroom pate.
That's a very niche joke there, Sam. We'll give you that one, though. So back to the story, though.
Yeah. So she has got in contact with people here in the Isle of Man because she's saying that, in her area alone in Braidwood, there has been, the fires have just ravaged the landscape, and she's seeing so many animals just in her own land because she actually lives on a conservation site, and she's feeding about 12 kangaroos and wallabies who are coming in and drinking from the dams and they're starving, basically. So she's made an appeal to the Manx people to donate towards a charity in the area called Native Animal Rescue Group. And they provide pellets for kangaroos, hay and bird seed for starving wildlife. And they also train wildlife carers to go around and rescue these animals. And she says that actually it's quite strange because when she moved over there, she discovered a Manx connection. And the connection was that a family of madrils moved over there. So I haven't read it fully, but I think it was a Mr. Madril went over there in 1853 and married a farmer's girl, daughter. And she said there's also an original homestead called Mona over there.
Oh, wow.
And madrils still live out there, so... Bizarre. But
could even be related to our very own John.
That's
Madril.
What I'm thinking. He's got a son that lives over in...
He
Australia,
does, yeah.
So maybe.
He's in the northern... north of Australia.
We've got quite a lot of subscribers in Australia.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Manx surnames with sending our papers to
listeners.
Tasmania and all sorts.
We can, track listeners, can't we? Not in terms of, GPS.
Like stalking.
We can see what country people are in when they listen to this podcast.
So do we have Australian listeners?
We'll get Grace to look at the statistics.
Oh, cool. The analytics.
If anyone does, they should tweet us, because I'd love to know how they've been affected by this.
Definitely. It's been a story that really has gripped everyone. But, did you see that video the other day of the kangaroo that had been rescued? And it was hugging its rescuer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
sad,
isn't it? Yeah. There's quite a few koalas as well. And
about the golden retriever who came back with a koala on its back.
Oh, no. That's so precious. But really sad at the same time.
How much would it cost for us to charter a flight and bring some of these animals here? Because we've got a record
They'll
of
be well
like,
looked after
of like, Well, yeah. I mean, like, wallabies have done quite well. Kush survived in the wild for a bit.
Yeah.
And then, so just, we could have, koalas in the Kuriggs as well. They could live up there.
Yeah.
Wallabies in South Buru.
Do we have that much... Do they eat eucalyptus?
Mm. Yeah, they do.
Do we have much there's eucalyptus for them?
That's the problem, because being a Kiwi, I follow the New Zealand... I mean, I talk about it a lot. But I follow the news over there, and there's a petition to get koalas over to New Zealand so they can look after them. Mm. But then... You also have to think about the native wildlife that already exists. And the trees are already being devastated by quite a few species that have been introduced by Europe and Australia. We've got possums from Australia, and they're just destroying the birds and all sorts. So you have to think about... Because they eat the eggs.
Awesome.
Yeah. But the Manx people have already been working really hard, actually, to help... animals by getting involved in sewing projects. So Mike, who is our our island life reporter, he wrote a lovely feature about some sewing groups making animal blankets and pouches for joeys, and they get it sent over.
So how's that work then? So if do they put it the pouch around the human, and then the Joey goes inside.
It looks
so it
like
feels
that,
like
yeah.
It's like it's in it. Oh,
yeah, it's really sweet. And you have to have quite a few because obviously those animals are gonna like you know poop and stuff in there, so they've got to change it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And also the animal's gonna get bigger and bigger, so they're needing quite a few. Pouches.
People of different strength, surely, as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Well, so there's more on that in this week's exam. That's on page 8, isn't it, Jess?
Yes. Yeah.
As Sam says, if you are in Australia, you're looking confused, Sam. You're right.
Did Joey's poop in the pouch of mummy kangaroo?
Well, mummy kangaroos are mainly like slime inside, aren't
they? Yeah, I know, but I just went like, what happens to it?
Well, they don't come out, like, drained, do they?
Well, no, but what... That's what I'm saying. What happens to it?
The hygiene of it.
Maybe she can glean us sort of as a...
I don't actually know. I need to
investigate. I don't think she can just like scoop up a load of water, shake it out a little bit and tip it out again. She's not a washing machine.
She's like fold it inside out.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like emptying
maybe
lint out of
Google
a pocket.
Maybe we should Google this after this podcast.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
If you are in Australia, please do get in touch. We're on the socials on Instagram and, of course, on Twitter at IRM News Podcast. We'd love to hear from our Australian listeners, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
And please do tell us how you're getting on out there. Right, this week's sports story. Now, did anyone see the back of the Manx Independent this week? I'm sure you all did. Did you see the picture of the guy on a frozen lake on a bike? This is a brilliant story. Sports editor John Watson wrote this week about Foxton man Tim Dixon, who is now trying to forge a career in ice speedway. Well, I say career, I still think he has to play. So Tim's from Lincolnshire originally, but moved over here in the 2000s, and he's been a TT sidecar passenger for several years, and he slowly moved into this ice speedway, which is essentially bike riding on a frozen lake. But,
of course.
But to add even more sort of elements of randomness and danger to it, all the bikes have massive nails or spikes in the tyres to grip the ice.
Of course, yeah.
So you have to wear almost like a suit of armour.
Imagine coming off that.
Yeah, because in case they get caught by any of these spikes. So there's a brilliant interview with John Stone with Tim in this week's Manx Independent, and he's talking about how he's trying to do some more of these European ice speedway rounds. And apparently the biggest events take place on ice rinks in towns, in big towns in like Holland and Sweden and Finland and stuff.
It must be huge then.
But the
that.
Stuff he's done so far has been on frozen lakes. So he said he was meant to go a couple of weeks to do a round in Finland, I think it was, but it was too warm. So the density of the lake had started to come down, so it wasn't safe for them to ride on it. So he'd made like a 5,000-kilometer-mile trip to Finland or whatever it was, near the Arctic Circle, and they were like, no, sorry, Tim, you can't ride this week. Back to Foxtel, you go.
You'd be gutted.
But it's a great story. It's worth a read. He's going to try and contest some more of the rounds as the winter progresses, but also he's looking for some... If anyone else fancies a go, he's quite happy to sort of show them ropes and stuff like that. So
we should do it. We should go for a little trip.
To Finland.
Where's he training for that?
I don't think he does. I just think he goes out there and goes, right, got me bike, got me things on, and away I go.
Just wings it?
Yeah. But he's been doing it for 3 or 4 years now, so I think he's sort of...
Okay, on top of he must know what he's doing.
Yeah. You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So that's in this week's Independent, or the back page, and it's well worth a read.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Sam, we hurtle back in time, as always, for this week in history to the front page of the Isle of Man Mona's Herald, in its 127th year of publication at the time of day. We're going back to January 12th, 1960. It's a very busy front page, isn't it?
Yeah, after last week's...
Oh, the
classic.
There was
Daily Times
and Women's Magazine,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which was just incredible. Brilliant on so many levels.
We've gone for a little bit more sensibility this week.
Okay,
we're maturing. So this week
we'll go
it's,
that far.
It's about we have sweeping changes in drink laws suggested.
Yeah, now this if you suggested this now, people would go being outraged. Now this was the initial thoughts about maybe opening on a Sunday. So you can go to the pub on a Sunday.
Oh.
Now it's almost ingrained in life, isn't it? Or you can go for a roast or go and watch the football or whatever like that. But this was in 1960. It was being suggested that we might open sometimes on a Sunday in the summer.
Yeah, I can imagine you getting outcry from that.
Yeah.
It is just quite mad. You can't really think of it, can you? Like, it's 50 years ago. 60 years ago. Can't think of a world like that, where Whereas like, you couldn't go in on Sunday.
Were shops closed on Sunday back then, do you think?
Yeah. There was a story, I think. Jersey's only just... Or one of them's only just talking about altering their
I think that was... B&Q in Jersey said they were considering changing their opening hours if a new law is passed that means they can open on Sunday.
Okay.
It's like only like news agents and stuff were allowed to open here for a long time on Sundays.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably the same there.
Yeah. So yeah, so this was quite a revolutionary thing. Sweeping changes, as the headline says. And there's a lovely picture of His Honour, Ramsay Johnson, who I presume was presiding over this.
Mm-hmm. You know what the most concerning part about all this is?
What?
So this is a commission's, it was a licensing commission report. And they suggested an annual reduction of about 450 hours in the opening time for pubs. So they go from, weekday hours would be cut from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. They go from 11:30 till 10:45. And the off-season, so that's the winter essentially, be 12 till 2, and then 5 till 10:30.
Which is probably, I think it's rare when a pub's open before lunchtime now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah.
So it's weird how, actually, back in the day, they're open longer.
Here it is, yeah. It's weird, because in the UK, obviously, they're open for like 7 o'clock in the morning for breakfast.
Right.
I mean, there's the Nank's Head's open all the time.
Right.
The market's open really early, isn't it?
Yeah, open.
And the Albert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there's not a lot of them. And it is weird, isn't it?
Is there anything else caught you around the front page?
Yes, there was Mr. Nigel Neal.
Okay.
The well-known Manx playwright, who apparently he was the creator of Quatermass.
Right, okay.
Now, to people of a certain age, when I said, "Who's Nigel Neal?" I got a hell of a stare. By which I mean our editor, Richard.
Right.
And it turns out, so this is about, he'd written a film version of John Osborne's Entertainer, but the star of that film was Laurence Olivier.
Cost £350,000 and will shortly be shown in the West End and throughout the world. £350,000 back in 1960 is a lot of money.
Yeah, so by all
That's
accounts...
probably like an independent film these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say a copy of The Independent. not quite. But it's interesting how, like, you know, he was apparently in his day well-known and quite a big deal for a playwright.
Jess, anything catch you around from page this week?
Yeah, it's just like a tiny, tiny, tiny little thing right at the bottom of the page. It's the lighting up time. they must have... Is it with the candles?
Will be the sort of suggested lamps. Times like the, that the yeah, light... The, but also when time you're meant to put your car lights on and suggest would be the
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Which is, yeah, so 4:48 on the 12th. What's the date today? We're recording on the 16th today, aren't we? So it would be 4:46... Which I think, personally, is probably a bit late.
It is, yeah.
What else? Favourite advert, Casey?
Quite distressed by these adverts, Andy, because there's no Sefton in the top left corner.
Of course.
So I'm already just thrown off guard there. Yeah. But I do like that someone is getting in very early for spring cleaning.
Okay.
So it's pre-spring cleaning bargains. And then it says, room, lot of wallpaper. From two-thirds to whatever that currency.
Currency?
Two and three per roll.
I quite like the big advert on Billy. Don't miss this opportunity. Oddment bargains. Like, it's just like, we can't even be bothered telling you there's a lot of random stuff.
Yeah. In all departments.
I'm already intrigued.
It's a shame, actually. The best advert in this paper, because I don't just read the front page, I flicked for a few of them, was for a Jaguar Mark II.
Okay.
They were just going on the market. And one of them now is worth about $120,000.
Okay.
And the equivalent to it back then, they've barely gone up or down in price. They've stayed relatively similar. The best thing on the front page for me was this. Sir Joseph Quatro.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker of the House of Keys has been seriously ill in Nobles Hospital, and it was stated today he had a slight improvement in his condition had been maintained.
Wow. Now, what an update.
I hope he did get well, but at the same time, it's just that, yes, by the way, the Speaker's been a bit ill, lads, and
he's still a bit ill. We'll keep you updated. Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah.
I suppose we kind of did that with Hector Duff when he was in Nobles Hospital.
Yeah,
so I suppose it depends. I mean, he's quite a well-known figure, so you kind of want to know
how he's doing.
Yeah.
Fact.
But I know what you mean. At the same time, it's like, great. Great news.
Yes, so we're moving on now to Yesser training, which is now sort of the big...
Bigger Manx picture.
Yes, the bigger Manx picture.
So, rather than just Manx language, we're taking in some famous characters in Manx history.
yep.
or famous places on the Isle of Man, mm-hmm. or famous events that happen here.
Traditions.
Things we should probably know, or know have... of, but we don't know why. Like...
The Dead Hen.
Like the Dead Hen funeral.
Yeah.
The 6th of December, yep. St. Catherine's Day, which I've just retained all that information.
Exactly. Impressive. So, the Mollag Bands. Which
the Mollag Bands.
We did just before Christmas.
Yeah.
So where are we meandering to this week?
I was reading on the Culture Vanin website, they actually have an app you can download about Manx history.
Okay.
And it has different sections where they are like people, places.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I've been very distracted by it this afternoon.
It sounds really thorough, actually.
Yeah, but I've been reading a lot about places on the Isle of Man, and one that caught my eye was Silverdale.
Okay, yeah.
Just because I have many Silverdale memories. But I was reading more about Silverdale, and so I've got some facts for you here, some Silverdale facts. So, it's a glen. This we should all hopefully know.
Yep.
Then, from 1134 until 1540, it was part of Russian Abbey's lands.
Makes sense. Yeah.
At one stage, it had 10 mills, which produced things such as wool, corn, paper, okra for painting, and snuff.
Mm.
And we would also use the river power to churn butter.
Right, of course, the river would power the mill. Yeah.
Yes, the largest mill is now the cafe, which also, I think it's the cafe's been redone the last few years, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you go on TripAdvisor, a lot of the reviews are still from quite a while ago, and there are some very interesting reviews.
Well, me and Sam, we were workshopping a new feature at lunchtime, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Which is potentially TripAdvisor reviews of establishments in Isle of Man, because we were looking at a couple for the Bride Tea Rooms earlier, weren't we?
Mm.
Which were, there was some absolute belters, wasn't there?
I think the tea and scones saving someone's day was a highlight.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the best thing in Silverdale is the water wheel-powered carousel.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
That's the absolute highlight of visiting Silverdale at any age.
So that's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, and apparently it's the only water wheel powered carousel in the world.
Never.
In the world?
And, and it used to be turned by hand before they changed it into water powered. And when I was little, it was definitely, it always had a stick lodged in it just to keep the carousel constantly moving. You know, there's that little thing you turn up and down. But there was always like a stick, unless someone's parent was going to stand there. It was always a stick pushed in it. So it was just constantly turning and you had to run and jump on.
Yeah, exactly. You had to get men moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
It was easier to just get onto anything and then move around the horses and the boats.
I remember inside maybe this is me going mad, but I remember inside the mill, the cafe area, was there like some sort of like display or something where it was like it's a small world, but in It's a Small World Silverdale version. Do you remember that?
I don't remember this. No, I remember buying, there was a gift, there was like a small toy shop in there, so I remember buying kites and things from there.
I've actually never been in the cafe. I remember there was a pottery down below, and I went there and created some awful pieces.
Did you ever go on the boating lake, Sam?
The first time I went to Silverdale was like a year ago. And it is definitely my second favourite of all the Dales.
What's your first?
Emmerdale.
Of course.
I would say Golden Dale, but I don't think there actually is one, so Silverdale. See, it's a very good joke, that actually is. Not often we get element-based jokes on this. the water wheel got renovated this past year. At some point, there was a lot of money spent on it, and I got into a row with the government over at the time because they called it Victorian. No, they called it. Yeah, they called it Victorian, and I pointed out that based on their own dates, it was Edwardian.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
You made them look the fool.
I did.
But that was a right Mexican standoff, that one.
It was.
So, Jess, any memories of when you were a child gleefully playing in the glen or whatever?
I think it was one of the first kind of parks I went to as a kid when I first moved over, so I suppose it's got like strong connections to settling in.
I'm rather worried about your comment you made before we started recording this about if you could get away with stealing the pedal boats from Silverdale because you live right near
it. Give away my plans. No, I was just thinking, like, because I'm pretty sure when I last walked the dog, they don't have chains or anything on them, so I thought, oh, you could probably just have a little paddle around.
So you don't want to steal them, you just want to paddle them for free at night time.
Yeah, I just thought it would be
It's you and your dog in the boat at night on a dark lake.
You've gone very red, Jess.
It's just not Uncle Parker, is it, let's face it.
I knew you were going to say
that. I knew
that
was going to come out at some point.
Oh, gosh.
I will see their little lake and raise them a crazy golf course.
I think in the summer, we take you to Silverdale.
You'll have the time of your life.
We'll take you out on the boats. We'll put you on the little Edwardian carousel. We'll go in and I'll say, this wasn't the place I thought it was. we'll reminisce about where Katie bought a rubbish toy. We'll do all that. If you've got any memories of Silverdale, please do get in touch. Or even some pictures, that'd be nice, wouldn't
they
it?
They used to have like a little rocking thing that was kind of like a rocket. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. That was the scariest thing in the world. Because you could get some really big momentum on that, couldn't you?
I've actually got a scar here from something similar. It was like a rocking horse and I went boom. And
You wouldn't get it today in the health and safety conscious 2020, would you? So yeah, please do send in any memories of IOM, of Silverdale. So at IOM News Podcast on Twitter and, of course, on Instagram. I can't wait to see where we go next week. This is going to be...
I might choose a person next week. In fact, there's a day coming up soon.
A day, not a national day, but an important day.
A special day to celebrate.
Special day.
So we all need to leave something out for this special day as well.
Ooh, very intriguing. Right, before we go, Jess, what's coming up next week?
So next week, I am working on a piece about gambling addiction here in the Isle of Man. So we've got some statistics and so basically I got in contact with Gam Care and they're saying that the online gambling amongst their kind of referrals has really significantly risen. So just looking over those sort of details really.
Casey, obviously we'll be still freezing the digital subscriptions. Is there anything else much coming up next week?
Many things.
So many things that you couldn't possibly condense it down into a sentence for us.
I'm trying to... All I can think of is I'm going to Liverpool next week. But,
of course you are. Is that your first trip of the year?
It's the first. The next trip is in 21 sleeps.
What's the next one?
Bolivia and Chile.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to them postcards.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
If
they ever make it here.
I'm sure they will.
Because my Austria one still never arrived. Your London one hasn't.
That's true.
I've got faith in the Bolivian Postal Service.
They've got faith in you.
Thank you. Sam, what's coming up?
Right. Oh, what am I doing? I've got a piece about a scientist who wants to help the island go neutral carbon.
Carbon neutral.
That's the one.
Yep.
Neutral carbon.
It's Jimmy Neutron's cousin. I'm actually off to Glasgow in the morning, so
are you?
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
My sister's living up there now, so I thought I'd go up and watch Rangers play Strathclyde, whoever it is they're playing in the League Cup tomorrow night.
It's a very in-depth knowledge of Scottish football. Got that? Right.
Yeah, if they're not on FIFA, I don't know.
So we can hear about that next week. You going to send a postcard?
Yeah, will do. Yeah.
Remember, they're very fussy about stamps.
I'll flip in. I'm not going to put a stamp on, see what happens.
You charge extra £2.
Yeah. I could always do that thing where I could take a picture of myself and then, you know, that Michael Joseph
Michael
postcard.
Joseph thing.
Oh, that'd be great. You could have a picture of me to go on the wall.
We're at the Strathclyde game.
Yeah.
Right, if you have been inspired to send a postcard like Sam's going to do from the Rangers Strathclyde game, you heard it here first.
Who are they playing?
I think it's Strathclyde.
It's not Strathclyde. It's not even a team.
Isn't it?
No.
Was that the bank?
Did you genuinely think it was...
I don't know who they're playing.
It's
Strathclyde
aren't a football team.
It sounds like some dodgy Scottish team.
There's Clyde Bank, who don't exist anymore. And there's Clyde.
They're playing some horrible team.
Some horrible team.
Who are Rangers playing? Come find out.
Have you not bought tickets?
Yeah.
Well, it'll say on the ticket. Rangers.
I bought tickets.
Rangers.
We're going to have to do this bit again, you know.
I see where you've got Strathclyde from. They're playing Stranraer.
Strathclyde's their English name.
Well, we apologise to all the listeners from Stranraer. If you want to send us a postcard, please do. IOM News Podcast, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED. Right, that's about it for this week. Please do get in touch on Instagram and Twitter. And failing that, look up our products on iomtoday.co.uk/digital editions. Or it's not, is it? It's not
slash subscribe.
Slash subscribe, sorry.
Click on digital editions.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, easy when you know how. Right, until next week.
Go Strathclyde.
Bye for now.